Listen to me very carefully.
You are listening to Pirate Hill Hardcore Asian. How's it going?
My mission is to go and destroy and not to let anything get involved. You get punched, you get hurt. I refuse to be hurt, knocked down, and knocked out. I can't lose. I refuse to lose.
He's been mentioned as a possible opponent.
I take all comers. I don't duck any man.
Can we assume that Michael Gokes is one of the prospects?
All comers. Come one, come all. Because nobody can get close to me. They're not even close. I'm the best fighter in the world.
Okay, yes. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am your host, V, and we have Will Turbitt here with us, co-hosting, and also...
What's up, V? What's up, Kyler?
We have Kyler here with us as well.
I am here, co-hosting, and I am glad to be here, guys. Good to see you. Good to hear you.
And we're going to jump right in for time's sake here. Kyler, you have a guest for us, so I'll let you have the honors.
Yeah, well, one of my best friends in the world and honored guest, Mr. John LaCrone, is with us. John has done over 446 shows with me. And John and I are good friends, and I love him to death like a brother. And he is a very, very smart man. He studied... law for the last 10 years. He's very, very brilliant when it comes to law and legal and maritime and common law and legalese and rule of law. And John, hello. How are you doing tonight?
Good evening, Kyler. Good evening, V. So happy to be here with y'all this evening.
It's good to have you.
Coming out swinging, ladies and gentlemen. Well, you wanted to hear some fireworks? Well, I can promise you, I suspect you'll hear some tonight on this show, so stay tuned.
All right, well, come on with it. What do you got for us?
Well, I guess we can start by actually having a conversation about what is taking place. I understand we've only got about an hour with a few... interruptions in the process, so kind of give me a heads up when it's getting close to that time, okay, when you got to go to a break. But in a nutshell, here's this history that they will not teach you in any of those history classes that they pretend to give you. You know, history, his story. You've ever heard the term, the history is written by the winner? That would be a correct statement. Now, the American people have been victims of a lie for the last several hundred years. They were lied to by not an accident. You know, we've been told that we won this thing called the Revolutionary War. And we, of course, celebrated on July 4th. Everybody has fireworks and, you know, drinks their beer and throws wild parties and stuff like that. Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but we got our asses kicked. How dare you bring that subject up, John? Where you get that crap from? I'm an American, damn it. We kicked the British ass. let's go talk about that contract at the end of the war. It's common knowledge, folks. You can go find it all over the Internet. There's several sources that I've pointed out to over the years. But the 1783 Peace Treaty, let's talk about that little treaty for just a couple minutes. You know, first of all, we have to ask ourselves, who writes the treaties, the winner or the loser? Well, generally, it's the winner that writes it. Well, look at who's the author of that particular treaty. Oh, that's right, it's the King of England, who also happens to be the banker for the Vatican. And, oh, get this, the King of England is also claiming the status as King of France. Well, who were our allies during the Revolutionary War? Amazing, it was the French! Well, if... they were our allies, and they are now being controlled by the King of England. What does that tell you about America? You know, I like to say that...
Well, actually, you know, the Treaty of 1783, in signing it, that basically says that we recognize the sovereignty of England once again, and then we came right back underneath being the colonies of the king. Is that where you're getting to?
That would be the point, and I was going to point out some of the things in the contract so that people comprehend its nature. You are very correct. Remember, folks, what are colonies? colonies are an extension of the mother country. And who was the mother country? England. And remember, all the colonies, what they called states back then, were grants for business purposes. Let me say that again. They were grants for business purposes. Okay? And then you had these people called governors. Well, what is a governor? It's where we get the word govern. You've got somebody in charge. Well, they're a militaristic position. And there they are, dictating what happens in that quote-unquote business enterprise. And again, nothing ever changed. They imported a bunch of people over here. They emptied off the streets of England, Ireland, and a few other places. And, of course, over there in Africa, lost quite a few folk as well. And as a result, they all got imported over here. And, well, again, for what purpose? Well, hey, to bring money back to the homeland. It's just business. Just remember that, folks. It's just business. But going back to the 1783 peace treaty, yes, there was a little bit of quote-unquote sovereignty given, but read what the terms of the sovereignty were. Simple. First of all, we had to pay reparations for the war. Fact. Losers are the ones that pay reparations to the winners, not the other way around. Issue number two, what does it again say? It granted us access to our land, but anybody that stayed loyal to England, and remember the Revolutionary War was America's first civil war, anybody that stayed loyal to England got all of their property back. Okay? Follow through. Look at some of the other points that nice little peace treaty says. It specifically states the king had his armies, plural, and navies, plural, who would be removed after the peace treaty was signed. Oops. Wait a minute. If we won the war, why were there armies and navies in our area of influence? Because we didn't win it. And the lesson is the one that really should be the coup de grace to any imagination that somebody might have that we actually, quote-unquote, won the war. The King of England is being very generous by giving us permission. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, he gave permission for us to keep our cannon. Well, if we were the winners, think a loser is going to sit there and tell us we're allowed to keep our cannon? He's got losers, nothing to say. But no. So there you got your hidden history, ladies and gentlemen. And don't believe what this new guy on this radio show is talking about. Do your own damn research, for crying out loud. So, moving on. What happens? We have another little scuffle again in 1812. And what was that little snafu about? Well, basically the kidnapping of people off of ships and stuff like that. And I guess it was time to make some fussing again. So another war. And what was the end result of that peace treaty? Boom, same story. Just a reaffirmation of what had happened before back in 1783. All of these...
Now, sorry to interrupt you. But just for my perspective on the story here, I've heard stuff like this before. Were the American quote-unquote patriots in on this all along, or did they kind of just make a dog and pony show to appease some of the patriots or patriot-minded individuals here in the United States?
To answer your question, the army was defeated, and we had literally no navy left. It was the best offer that was on the table. The American people got told a story, and nobody bothered to do any actual research. So, in a nutshell, remember this, ladies and gentlemen. All wars are bankers' wars. Rule one. Two, war is commerce. You're either going to do business one way, which is trading amongst each other, flour, corn, tobacco, whatever, or you're going to do trading in a different way, which is shooting at each other. One of those two things that's always happening between these things called countries. Okay? And by the way, when you think of the word state, state is Latin for status. And the word government is two words in Latin. Gouverneur, where you get the word govern, governor, etc., and mente, which means mind. Put those two words together. Government. That's Latin for mind control. American people need
to
wake
up. Yes, I've been preaching that one for years. Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Hey, John. Hey, John, be a little careful. Be a little careful with your language. We're on a G-rated show tonight, so.
Oh, yeah. You must apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I do apologize. I'm very used to me and Kyle going a little rambunctious.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
I'm the Kyle Davenport show. But anyway, so I will probably back to the point at hand. So we had these things called states that came out of this thing called colony. Okay, state means status in Latin. And these business enterprises didn't change. And each quote-unquote citizen of a state was actually a citizen of its own unique country. Now, to prevent the problems that they had in Europe, which was the French and the English and the Spanish and everybody always shooting at each other on a very regular schedule, it says, you know what, we need to have some place where we can all get together and resolve our problems and pay back this debt that we accumulated when we decided to declare war on our mother country. So they came up with this little document, and it was called the Constitution. And I like calling it the Constitution for a reason. Okay? What is a Constitution? It is a creation of a business enterprise, but more importantly than that, what is a constitutor? A constitutor is one who agrees to pay the debts of another. So you have all of these states saying, okay, we need a central point so we can pay these fees and pay these payments that need to be paid. And so they created this thing called the Constitution, which was a corporation. And that is how each of the states was sending money to turn around and send it over to pay war reparations and interest and all that other stuff that accumulates. And it was a central point for anybody that showed up. We had this thing called a president, which, again, if you look at your history, and you look at every quote-unquote president we've had, they've all got direct ties to some king and or queen of England. Again, if you think that you've broken free from them over there, I would just like to bring up one other tiny little point. The thing I like to call social insecurity is voted on, or was voted on a few years ago, over in England. Yes, they vote on it over here, too. But American Social Security was voted on over there in England, and I had a direct link on my Facebook for that. So, folks, there is a tie-in that has never been broken. It exists to this day. And there have been several bankruptcies that have impacted everybody's perspective. Because, again, people don't realize that there have been several constitutions. Several. One of the things that people need to be aware of is what is called the 13th Amendment. And no, I don't mean the 13th Amendment that they brag on now. The original 13th Amendment in the old Constitution was called the Title of Nobilities Act, TONA. Look it up. And this Constitution that had this act in it said that any titles that were given, and by the way, in a court case, let me give you some examples of titles. Mister is a title. Defendant is a title. Plaintiff is a title. Suspect is a title. Judge is a title. We're surrounded by titles. But anyway, so what you have, you have a situation where we got people that have controlled the narrative. One point I tried to drive home to everybody Words have meanings. Let me say that again. Words have meanings. And what those words mean, and you think they mean, in their world of this thing called legalese, is a totally different thing. They use words as terms. Okay? Dictionary terms and dictionary definitions are two separate things. They have a separate language. Now, that language sounds like English. It sounds good. And when you hear some guy in a costume with a badge and a gun, or you see some guy with a black robe, or a girl with a black robe, and they use these words like, do you understand? Do you understand?
And see, I like where you're going with that, because I always tell people, well, when people ask me that, do I understand? Like, no, I don't understand. I overstand. I'm not subject to what you're saying. No, I don't understand. But how do you feel about, I mean, because all this language is set up as, well, for control and as war against us, the people. And for example, you go to court these days and you have these judges and they have these flags behind them, and these are admiralty flags, which means that they are in a state of war against the people. And I've seen a couple lawyers tell these judges to remove these flags, and they are not to they're not permitted to be a judge in these courts until these flags are removed. And then these lawyers end up being thrown in jail for contempt. I mean, what do you think about stuff like that?
Very valid points. Now, what is that fringe? It's gold. What is the banker's money? Gold. Okay. Now, you ask me what I think of it, I'm going to tell you, okay? I call myself a lawyer. I am not a bar attorney. Listen to me again. I am a lawyer, one learned in the law. I am not a bar attorney. Attorney means to turn over. Make matters worse, what an attorney actually does, he's an international shipping clerk. And when you walk into that courthouse in downtown America, you just walked onto a foreign pirate ship in dry dock. It is a banking enterprise. The guy in the black robe is a banker, and he's just trading stocks. Every court case is about two things. One, it's about the bonds, bid, performance, and payment bonds. That's the first part. The second part, which nobody comprehends, is it's all about trusts. It's all about trusts. And if you don't know what a trust even is, guess what? You've already lost. Because let me explain trust to you in a nutshell. First of all, in a trust, you have what is called the settlor. That is the quote-unquote person, and by the way, the word person means corporation. It does not mean man or woman. That is the one who creates the trust. Now, a trust has three parties. In that, you have the beneficiary, the executor, and the trustee. Now, the guy or girl in the black robe is supposed to be the public trustee, but they don't like being the public trustee because a trustee can only do what they are told. Now, once you're in that environment, you can be any two of the three, but you cannot be all three. Okay? So to recognize that simple truth, you now have to realize from what angle you are approaching. Now, their job is to pillage the trust. Your person, well, that's your all capital letters name. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we are going to commercial break. We're going to come back for our short segment where you can finish your point, okay?
Sounds great.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Have our guest John here, and he was right in the middle of telling us about the trust and what we need to know about that. So we got the three parts of the trust, the persons, and all that. So please continue on with that, please.
Okay, let me give you a couple of examples of trust that you will be familiar with. Trust are things like corporations. That is a form of a trust. A will. Again, that is a form of a trust. Now, let me explain a little bit about what I call capitis diminutio maxima. Look it up. Capitis diminutio maxima. That means maximum loss of status. If you look at all of your bills coming from a bank or coming from the government, or that if you pull out that little laminated piece of paper in your wallet telling you that you have permission to drive, it has your name in all capital letters. That, ladies and gentlemen, is not you. That is your corporate fiction person. You want to always separate the two. You are the administrator of your person who business purposes, okay? But what they do is they want to marry the two of you together so that they can pillage your trust. That's where that comes from. Let me explain to you, there are only five things in all capital letters name can be. Only five that I'm aware of. They are as follows. The name of a corporation. The name of a ship. A dead body, a slave, or the title to a sescuvi trust. And sescuvi stands for proof of life. When you walk into that courtroom, that guy in the black robe and that pro se cutor are looking at you as being their lunch. You are all five of those to them. You need to comprehend that. So you need to correct that in their eyes. Now, you will never hear John ever going into a courtroom and filing a complaint. Never filed a complaint in my life, and I'm never going to. I promise you that. But you will find John on a regular basis goes into these kangaroo courts, and that's what they are, and files claims. Corporate fictions can only file complaints through their third-party prosecuting attorneys. Men and women with unalienable rights can file claims. And when you file a claim under the pains and penalties of perjury, all of a sudden you're putting them in a really tight position because now you're starting to control them. I have been threatened more times. It's always fun when I meet a new kangaroo court master. Doesn't know anything about me. I walk in there. First thing I'm doing is I'm calling them by their first name because there's no persons in that room. There's only men and women. Oh, they hate that. How many times have you ever heard anybody do it? To my knowledge, I think I'm the only one that calls them by their first names. Next, when they look at you and they say, "Do you have a license to practice law?" Oh, I love hearing that question because they always get around to that question. It's beautiful. I love it. It gets me excited. I throw it back in their face and I says, "No, and I'd like to remind you, you don't have a license to practice law either. You have a bar card, which is a union dues card." Ooh, boy, that irritates the shit out of them. And I again apologize. I forget I'm on a D-rated show. The point is this, they can't respond to that. So let's talk about this thing called contempt of court, because you brought it up a few minutes ago. All right, well, first of all, you better understand, and I use that word understand in quotation marks, you need to comprehend that that is a contract offer. Now let me explain how to respond to the contract offer and again turn it around and swing it and hit them over the head with their own garbage. They will give you a warning. They're not just going to arbitrarily up and tell you, bam, contempt of court. They will warn you that they're required to do. Well, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, that is practicing law from the bench, but anyway. So let's say, in theory, that they actually threaten you. Your response is simple. You look at them directly in the eyes and you let them know that you're being threatened. You feel that you are under threat and duress and that the clerk masquerading as a judge is practicing law from the bench. Now you just put them on notice. Oops, he knows something.
But oh, I like that. I like that. Well, we got to go to... Sorry, we cut you off. We got to go to our station ID break, and then after that, we'll be back for our long segment, okay?
Sounds great.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Yes, it's the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. Still, I'm your host, V. Still, and we still have our guest on the line. We've got John, and I want to, for a minute, pose a question and sort of play devil's advocate for a minute. Now, I have been reading Black's Law and these things that you have mentioned and brought up tonight, long before I ever had a radio show. I did do my own research, and
And I thought, you know, it's amazing if I ever got in a situation where I needed to, you know, show my knowledge of law. Now, I have seen, again, a couple of lawyers who chose not to practice underneath any license or any bar association. And, you know, they will point out the things that these judges were doing that were wrong with the admiralty flags and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, these guys get thrown in jail. And they get harassed and they get set up for crimes, you know, and the public is none the wiser because, you know, you've got all these people in the courtroom and then this guy comes through speaking what seems to be witchcraft to the rest of the court, even though he's the one telling it plain and simple against the witchcraft of the court. So what would be the benefit of going through such hell knowing your rights and knowing that you are a living person, etc., versus just going through the system and playing it at its own game?
Well, first of all, you don't play at my level without having a whole bunch more than just knowing a few words in a dictionary. You have to recognize that you have rights. You've already heard me state for the record, I never file complaints. I only file claims. I will not tolerate anything coming out of these clerks' mouths or any actions that they take. You have to recognize something, ladies and gentlemen. Everything that happens is administrative process. Let me say that again. Everything that happens is administrative process. Controlling the slaves. And we do not have enough time on this show. It takes me a minimum of 2 hours to do a good show on that subject matter. Okay? But the point is this. If you know what's going on, this thing called knowledge is power, that's where the strength lies. If you go in there begging and hoping and expecting justice, it isn't going to come to you because there is no justice in these kangaroo courts. This is a battlefield, and you better know that it's that war taking place, and you better make sure it's the other guy holding the hand grenade when it goes off. Everything is about staying in honor and status. And they will do anything and everything in their power to debase your status. One thing they will call you, they will use the word Mr. or Mrs. That is a title of a slave. They will call you by your last name. Last name is called a surname. That is something that the bar mafia controls. They have it patented. You using it makes you a criminal.
But my family name is Lecrone.
Okay? Yeah, you can use the word John of the Lecrone family. But I always insist, and they will test you on this, ladies and gentlemen, I insist that they call me by my first name. I do the same to them. And like I've already said, it annoys them to no end. When they sit there and say, you will call me your honor, first of all, criminals don't have honor. There is no honor among thieves. When you're facing it off against one of these bar mafia members with the black robe, you don't give them any honor. You expose them for the criminals that they are. And they know you know. They know you know.
Now, do all judges know this, or have some just been brainwashed? Or does every judge know that we're under Admiral Maritime Law?
What happens is when somebody is elected to the office, and I like to use the word selected, actually, because they've been picked off before. But anyway, they have an additional class that they have to take. In 1933, there was a bankruptcy in the United States. The United States is a federal corporation. 28 United States Code 3002, Section 15A. Federal means by agreement, by contract, and corporation, I've already explained, and the Constitution is that. So So when you're an idiot and you walk in there and say, I want my constitutional rights, okay, you have no rights. You're a slave. If you don't know that you're a 14th Amendment corporate debt slave, you need to wake up. Read the 13th Amendment of the modern Constitution and read the 14th Amendment of the modern Constitution over and over and over again until you wake up to what it actually says. It didn't end slavery, it legalized it. Let me say it again. It did not end slavery, it legalized it. Wake up. Voluntary John, servitude is acceptable. Go ahead, Kyle.
John. What he's asking is what you and I talked about on the show two nights ago. Remember when I said a lot of people in government and administrative positions and legal positions, they just do these things for a paycheck. They do these things because they're programmed into it. They're indoctrinated into it. They don't really know that they're committing a crime. They really don't know the things that John LeCrone knows. Even some judges are unaware of this situation because I've interviewed them and I've talked to them in their chambers. Many of them just don't know the things that you know, and it confuses the court in many cases, especially if the prosecutor might know this, the defense attorney might know this, the clerk might know this, but the judge might not know this. It turns into a three-ring circus, and it turns into a debate or an argument, and sometimes a contempt of court where somebody might go to jail. So that's what he's asking you is, are they all aware that these are illegal proceedings and kangaroo courts and trust and so forth and so on? And the answer is no, they do not all know this. Some of them are just doing a job on the bench, and they're following the laws and rules and procedures and regulations of the court, and that's all there is to it. They're not all very aware of this, okay? Just for the audience to know that.
And I will interject this. They know enough. In the higher courts, it is blatantly clear. In the lower courts, if you get somebody that's a newer judge, in theory, Tyler is correct. But they learn fairly quickly. Okay?
Yes, yes, they do.
They are taught. They are taught certain things. And remember something. These bar attorneys are given tests. And a very tiny percentile that mean a very narrow field will be the ones that will only be the ones given the opportunity to assume a position of a judge. And again, it's a position of a corporation. If you look, you will see in the all capital letters names, Judge Joe Smith. That's a corporation, folks. Go look it up. Done in Bradstreet.
You have to also remember. You have to also remember that some of these judges just walked off their John Deere tractor or their Massey Ferguson tractor plowing or brush hogging. So where I come from, we have a lot of judges that are selected by their friend, the sheriff, or maybe their friend, the court administrator. They're selected and brought in to be a judge in a kangaroo court or in a civil court. So they don't know anything, basically. And they're there to run tickets and serve warrants and do things like that with the constables. So, yes, in that case, and John would agree, they don't know anything about what we're talking about. They're just completely, basically, most of the time, completely confused, and they have to learn very, very fast what's going on within the court system. But as they evolve, they do learn these things that John's talking about, and they learn very, very quickly what John's talking about. This is the difference in appointed and an elected judge. So you have to know the two different phases. There is elected and appointed judges. They're very different in their demeanor and their intelligence levels.
And again, you don't get the criminality out of a court like that that you do in some of these other ones.
Okay? Right.
Remember, it's all contract. 1938, the system changed. It took place in 1938 under Franklin Delano Roosevelt. They needed a court case to change what was being used in these kangaroo courts, because back then the common law court of record still existed and people did get justice. They had to change it all to contract law, which is maritime admiralty, constructive contract, and racketeering fraud. And by the way, that's the language I use when I'm in their courtrooms, and I have yet to have a single clerk masquerading as a judge try to correct me on that statement. What does that tell you? Now, what was that court case? That court case was dealing with a gentleman that was walking down the side of a train tracks. Train came by, and something that was hanging off of him hit him over the head. Okay? It's called the Erie Railroad decision that withdrew from the public this concept of natural law, common law, court of record, and replaced it with maritime admiralty. And what you call a courtroom now is not the courts we had back in 1935. And again, nobody knows that. Everything has changed. And you also need to recognize that back as late as the early 1980s, most lawyers learned in the law were not bar attorneys. And by the way, prior to 1861, War of Northern Aggression, what ended up happening was they were not even permitted to be in government. Because what is a bar attorney? It is a foreign creation. And a bar attorney is a title. That's a title of nobility. They were not allowed to be. And the bar, as we know it, didn't even get its start until almost 1900. And it only had a few dozen members. And eventually it went to each and every state, and it got a little few members, and then it grew from there, and eventually everybody was required to be a bar attorney in order to quote-unquote practice. And remember, they are only practicing law. They are practicing law because kangaroo courts and statute code rules and regulations and all that other garbage, that's not law. That's contract for employees of the corporation. And the assumption, and here's where you have to rebut all assumptions, is that you're their slave, you're their employee. All of you with a Social Security number, that makes you a federal employee. And in addition to that, that Social Security number, which you're not supposed to share, but you share it with everybody when you go try to get credit, is a direct tie-in to the trust. And again, they're not going to tell you any of this. But that is yours for a reason. It's been assigned to you for your quote-unquote benefit. And what did I say a trust has? An executor, a trustee, and what? A beneficiary. You need to call yourself a beneficiary. You need to recognize that you're the king. Now, if you go in there all, I don't want to cause any trouble, and I don't want the judge to be pissed off at me, and why is this happening to me? They're going to own you. They recognize the strength of a king, even if the king looks like a pauper.
So what is it exactly that you want our listeners to get from all this? Do you want them to learn the law as it really is? Should we be trying to get rid of some of these judges? I mean, are we changing the system? What are we doing here?
In a nutshell, if you're going to take anything away from this show, I want you to take away two things. Issue number one, words have meanings. Words have meaning. Issue number two, law is simple. It is three little words. Do no harm. Law is simple. Do no harm. Comprehend those two simple facts, and you all of a sudden have just knocked out two of the legs of the crime syndicate. They cannot present facts in their kangaroo courts. There is no person, known as the state of Tennessee, that will walk into a courtroom. There is no person called the county of, the city of. They have to hire an attorney. Flip the script on them. Can you contact with Bugs Bunny? Honestly, can you? Then why would you contract with any other fiction just because they call themselves the state of or the county of?
And John and I saw, John and I also mentioned before the show that the world is evolving so fast and our culture is evolving so fast and our legal system is evolving so fast and at such a speed of sound that they've made everything through legalese so complex that the average person will never understand it and never grasp it. And as John has said many times before on our show, they've done this on purpose. This was done on purpose. And Kate of Gaia has said this many times, and many other people who have studied law versus legal. They've done this on purpose so people don't understand, won't understand anything they're saying, anything they're doing. They'll just agree to whatever, they'll sign whatever, and they'll do whatever. And that's the name of the game today. So you've got to practically be a John LeCrone to make it in court today. And even John's been in contempt before. And John has gone to jail once or twice. And John is dang good at what he does. So you have to be careful.
Now, that is what I was getting at there. John, had you been in held in contempt of court before? You dodged that question. All right.
And it's a legitimate question. Let me answer the question. Yes and no. The only time I went to contempt of court is I was literally went to a different court case and kidnapped because I refused to follow an unlawful order.
Right.
And they put me in for criminal contempt. I had no opportunity to defend myself. And let's just say things are, those fireworks haven't come to full fulfillment yet. Okay? I was protecting my biological property from predators. And one of those predators was a clerk masquerading as a judge. Now, that was very early in my learning curve. I'm at the master stage now. No. The last time I was thrown in a cage, I don't have time to get into the story, I threatened the prosecutor with prosecutorial misconduct and malicious prosecution. He couldn't reach the judge fast enough to say, Your Honor, this is a nullity, and get me thrown out. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that was for having a broken headlight when a deer hit me about 30 seconds before. So, yes. Have I done it? Have I used this? All that you've heard me say tonight isn't theory. It's what I've done. I have threatened judges.
Okay.
I have thrown it in their face, and they get it. I am hated with a passion locally. And in about 36 hours, there's going to be some fireworks in Clarksville, Tennessee. So if you want to see John in action, making claims, not complaints, you can come. It's room 209, Montgomery County, Clarksville, Tennessee, 9 a.m. That's Wednesday,
right.
22nd.
I'll keep everybody posted,
John.
I'll keep everybody posted on how that comes out, John, because I'm real concerned about you, too, on this one.
Absolutely. Me too.
Remember, book. Remember this. Right. It's all contract offer. Please remember that. It's all contract offer. So when they make you an offer, if you don't like their offer, make them a counter offer. The first one to drop the ball loses. Okay? Remember, all crimes are commercial. 27 CFR 72.11. All crimes are commercial. 27 CFR 72.11. It has nothing to do with justice. It has nothing to do with making somebody pay. It's about the bid performance and the payment bonds. Look it up.
Excellent.
They don't care.
Well, John, I want to thank you.
Is there any last-minute question?
No, we don't have any more time. I want to thank you for coming onto the show. You've been a very insightful guest. Thank you very much. We have to do it again sometime.
Thank you, John.
I'm open to it. Y'all have a wonderful evening.
You too.
John and I just got off the air. Yeah, we just got off the air and came straight over to Red Pill.
Well, you know, you mentioned a name there for that I haven't heard in forever, Kate of Gaia. And that's just sort of what this all reminded me of. I would love to have her on the show.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to have her on, and then I'll spin her over to you. She's amazing, and she's got a temper from H-E-L-L, and she does know her stuff. But, boy, wow, whoa, man. Mm.
Well, that's where I got started with all this years ago, Kate of Gaia. all over YouTube with her stuff, and, again, studying Black's Law and she's got history.
She's had a lot of people put in jail, though, from her misinformation, disinformation, and her crew. She has a cult, you know. Everybody accuses her of having a cult. She has her little cult, you know, following. And she's had a lot of people put in jail, and I've got recordings of her on the phone telling people what to do when they're stopped and surrounded by the police, and I've heard the police dragging people through the window with Kate of Gaia saying, do this, do that, say this, say that, and they're going, ah! They're dragging me through the window. They're choking me. they're choking me. And she's going, just tell them this. Tell them that. Tell them this. Tell them that.
So I guess John is more of the real deal then, huh?
Yeah. John is more of the real deal. Yeah. John's got a level head. Kind of guy.
Well, yeah, head. I mean, you're going to have some casualties with this stuff because they're going to be the officers and the judges that don't care. They're going to violate you whether you're 100% in the right anyways.
Well, you're always going to violate have to go to court. You're always going to have to go to court. The cop will tell you, settle it in court. No matter what you tell that cop, no matter how you plead with that cop, he's going to tell you, settle it in court. Settle it in court. So there's no use in even arguing or debating or even having a conversation with a police officer, unless it looks like it's going to be a real sweet deal and he's a real nice guy. There's no sense in talking to him. Just accept whatever happens and go to court.
Right. Wow. So, Will, I know that you spent some time in Virginia. I know we're going to get to you. We're going to get to all that. We're going to do a TV recording. Hopefully, I want to do it tomorrow, but we'll see. I mean, anyways, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm your host, V. And remember, in the land of surveillance, the man with third eye is king, so educate yourselves.
Y'all take care. Enjoy the show tonight. Thank you, John LaCrone, very much. I'll see you tomorrow night, John. And I'll see you, V, tomorrow night, and Will and everyone else.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Red pill hardcore. Keep it real. Take a red pill.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.